good afternoon. We're glad to be here. It's a lovely day the Lord has given to us. We're enjoying this good weather. We love the freedom that we have in this country, where we have the freedom to go out into the street and to preach the gospel. We recognize this is a wonderful privilege, and we do believe that ultimately this has been given to us by God Himself, and as long as we have it, we'll be making use of this facility and this privilege to be able to go out on the street and to bring you something of the good news of the Christian gospel concerning our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christianity, friends, is all about a person. And if we know anything about Christianity, we are to know about Christ. There is no gospel without this individual. There is no Christianity without Christ. And we want to ask ourselves then, and to think about for a moment, about the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is He? He's the one who has come from heaven. And whether we accept it or not, He has had a profound influence upon the world. Time has been divided because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is this person? He's too important for us to ignore. We must think about this individual. The Bible describes him in many ways. I want to read one or two verses concerning Christ. We'll find them in the New Testament in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. And this is the Apostle Paul describing the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. These are profound words, we admit, and they just describe something concerning Jesus Christ the Lord. And it tells us here that He is the image of the invisible God. God is invisible. God is a spirit. God does not have a body like you and I, and we cannot see Him. But when we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, and He had a body, He came from heaven and took upon Himself our form and our nature. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He had a miraculous conception, but He had a normal birth. And He came into this world and He grew up as an infant, to a child, to an adolescent, to a young man, and to a man. And if you saw Him, you would see no difference between Him and any other Jew at that time. There was nothing notable in His physical appearance. But friends, there the Lord Jesus Christ was revealing to us God. For Christ is God in the flesh. And Paul goes on to say in that book in Colossians that I have already quoted from, that in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What a statement! In Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. If you want to know what God is like, study the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. There you will find He reveals God completely and entirely. For the verse that we're looking at says, Who is the image of the invisible God? And it goes on to tell us that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the one who has created all things. We see the physical world all around us, and we cannot deny it because we see it, we taste it, we handle it, we smell it, we live in it. The physical world has been created by the Son of God. But it goes on to tell us that the invisible world, that's the spiritual world, the world that you and I cannot see at the moment, that world that is invisible to our sight, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who has created all of them. He has created all the various angels, and there are various angels described here, thrones or dominions or principalities, the various orders of the angels. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the one who has created all of them. He is the Creator. He is the one who has brought all things into being. He is the one who upholds and sustains His creation day after day after day. He upholds what He has created. For all things were created for Him and by Him. Now, when you consider that He is the image of the invisible God, and that He is the creator and sustainer of all things, is it not amazing? Is it not wonderful that this person should come to this world on a rescue mission? What person would do this? Who else came down from heaven in order that He might seek and save that which was lost, and offer up Himself, that once for all perfect sacrifice of Himself? This is stupendous. This is beyond our imagination. But that is exactly what happened. The Son of God became the Son of Man. He became like us, and He did this in order that He would be able to suffer, and in order that He might be able to die. And by dying, friends, He offered up Himself as a once-for-all perfect sacrifice to make atonement for our sins, to satisfy God's justice, and to reconcile mankind to God through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is really the very essence, the very heart, and the very heartbeat of the gospel. It's all about this person. It's all about this person who has done something that we couldn't do ourselves. What was it? He satisfied the just demands of God. And through Him, we are able to offer salvation. What does that mean? Salvation means deliverance. Salvation means freedom. What are we to get freedom from? What are we to be delivered from? We are to be delivered from our sins. That's why Jesus came. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And as you pass by this afternoon, and as you listen for a few moments or a few seconds, I want to ask you this question. Have you been saved from your sins? Have you been saved from your sins? You see, friends, if your sins are not forgiven, you're in a terrible condition, because God's wrath and God's anger rest upon you. But the good news of the gospel is that God has done something in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has done something to deal with that great problem that we have, that of our sins. You know, many people today are anxious, they're worried, they're concerned, they're fearful of this coronavirus, and rightly so. We are not going to make light of it or diminish it. It's a terrible virus that has come upon us, and many people might lose their lives, and many people might become seriously ill, and they might suffer consequences that will be long-lasting because of this virus. We don't really know much about it yet at this time. But you know, all of us have something that's far, far more serious than the coronavirus. What is it, friends? We all have sin. We all have sinful hearts. We're all sinners. And because of that, we're under God's wrath and we're under God's curse. And left unchecked, if the problem of our sin is not dealt with, what will happen? We will suffer not just physical death, not just spiritual death, but eternal death. At worst, the coronavirus could well kill us. It has that potential. But sin, if it's not dealt with, it will take us to hell. We don't say these things lightly. That's why we're here this afternoon, to tell you there's a way of escape. And the way of escape is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, that one who suffered the pains of hell in the place and in the room of sinners. And friends, if you want to escape the consequences of your sins, you must repent. You must repent and you must believe the gospel. You must call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You must ask Him to forgive your sins. And you must ask Him to give you the gift of new life. That's what happens when you become a Christian. Jesus spoke to a very religious man. He spoke to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a minister who taught other ministers, we might say in modern language. He was one who would be in our theological seminaries. And he would teach rabbis about the scriptures and about God. And this rabbi went to have a conversation with the Lord Jesus. And Jesus wasn't going to enter into conversation with them. Instead, he said to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." Nicodemus said, "We know that you have come with God's approval. For no man can do these miracles that you are doing unless God was with you." And Jesus wasn't going to discuss things with him. Instead, Jesus went straight to the heart of the matter. "Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again to know what I'm talking about. Nicodemus, with all your religion, you don't know the new birth. You're not in the kingdom of God. You'll never see it. You'll never enter into it unless you be born again." And that's true for every single one of us. It doesn't matter how religious we are. It doesn't matter how many times we attend church or mass, or how often we take communion, or how often we pray, or how often we read the Word of God, or how often we perform charitable works. All of these things, in order to get us righteous before God, are but filthy rags in His sight. We must know the new birth. We must be born again. And then how can we be born again? You cannot do it yourself. Impossible. There's some people will tell you that you can make yourself born again, that you can give yourself new life. Impossible. The sinner is dead in trespasses and sins, yet you must be born again. How can you be born again? You can only be born again by the Spirit of the living God. He alone gives new life. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. "The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit of God." This is what you need, friends. You must have this new life that's found in Jesus Christ. You must go unto Him. You must cry unto Him. You must be baptized in His Spirit. That's what must happen. Nicodemus said, and Jesus said to him, "Ye must be born again." I want to ask you then, do you know anything about this? Do you know anything about this new life in the Lord Jesus Christ? Religion will not save us. Impossible. Only Christ can save. He gives new life.
Who's God's, who's Jesus' Father?
The Father. God the Father.
Who's Jesus' Father?
God the Father.
God. Jesus is God's Father.
And Jesus is...
Father, you have forsaken me. Jesus is God, so...
Jesus is...
Contradiction in hell.
No. We're glad to be here from Partick, Free Church of Scotland continuing, and we want to bring something of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to you. It's vitally important that you hear about this person, because without him, we have no hope. And earlier on I was talking about new life. And that's what Christianity is all about. It's about new life. You see, friends, by nature, as we come out of the womb, we're dead in trespasses and sins, the Bible says. And what that's telling us is we are spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. We have no love towards God. We hate Him. We despise Him and we reject Him and we turn from Him. But when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have new life. And Paul says regarding this new life, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Christianity is a new life. Christianity is a spiritual resurrection. We know that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. He was put in a tomb on the Friday, but on the third day, on the very early, on the first day of the week, on Sunday, He rose. He came out of the grave. He had a resurrection. The grave could no longer hold Him. Death had no more grip upon the Lord Jesus. He destroyed death there and He rose again. Well, exactly the same thing happens to the Christian when he becomes a Christian. New life enters into him. The Spirit of God comes upon him and he is a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do you know anything of this new life experience? Do you know anything of coming to the Lord Jesus, of having your sins forgiven, of being reconciled to God, of having this new life with all that it brings? What does it bring? It brings new motives, it brings new desires, it brings new aims, it brings new goals. It brings new joy. It brings new life. It brings all things new. That's what Christianity does. How many of us have simply got religion? Well, you can have religion without Christianity, friends. And to have Christianity, you must have a person. And you must have Jesus Christ. He must be your Lord. And He must be your Savior. Because He is the only God-appointed Savior. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave His life a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. That's why he came. That's his mission. That's his purpose. It was in order that he would lay down his life to seek and to save that which was lost. He said on one occasion, I have not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Oh, he could have come as a conqueror. He could have come as a warrior. No, friends, instead he came as a meek and mild Savior. And in order to save, he had to suffer and he had to die. And he did this. God punished him in our room and in our place. And when he was taken down from the cross, he was dead. And they put him in a tomb. But on the third day he rose. Why? Because his work of atonement was over. It was finished. It was complete. It was perfect. It was accepted. And that's why we have a gospel today to proclaim to you all as you pass by. A gospel that reminds us, yes, it does offend us. We acknowledge that. There is an offense in the gospel. And the gospel will remind us that we're not right before God. We're sinners in his sight. And that we need to be saved. And that's not pleasant for us. The natural man doesn't like to be told these things. But he must. He must, otherwise he'll never value, he'll never prize the Lord Jesus. He'll think nothing of this person. But once you realize you're a sinner in the sight of God, once you realize it's a terrible thing to stand before God as a sinner, then you will run to the Lord Jesus. Then you will look upon him. Then you will prize him. And that's why we're here this afternoon, that we might tell you something about this person, and that you might go to him, that you might call upon him. Have we any authority to do this? Is there any encouragement in the Bible? We're sinners. Will the Lord Jesus Christ receive us? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And whosoever cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, he says. He says on another occasion, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As you pass by, as you wander by this afternoon, friends, I can tell you've got a burden. And the burden's not your shopping. You have a burden that you maybe don't realize. What is that burden? I used to have it myself. What is it? It's the burden of my sin. I knew I was a sinner before God. I was carrying this burden with me all the time. It was there. It would trouble me on occasions. That's the burden you have. Well, Jesus says to you this afternoon, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Only Jesus can take that burden from you. No minister of the gospel, no preacher, no priest, no cardinal, no pope, no Muhammad, no Confucius, none whatsoever. None can do this, only Jesus. He has the power. He has the power to forgive your sins. And he has the power to give you new life, to enable you to live a Christian life. You cannot do it on your own strength. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. We're going to draw our time to a close. It's been good to be here. We enjoy the privilege of being able to go out with the gospel. We do this because we fear that many people don't go to the house of God these days. Church attendance is at an all-time low. And even if you do go to church, very often you don't hear the gospel. But you must hear the gospel. You must hear about this person. This person is the most important person in the world. And our reaction to this person will determine where we will spend eternity. That's why it's important that you hear about him, and that's why it's important that you receive him, that you call upon him, that you trust upon him for yourself. It's not enough to hear about him. It's not enough to admire him. You must receive him. It says in the Bible in John chapter 1, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. In some sense, he's here this afternoon. The gospel's been proclaimed to you. You must come to him. You must cast yourself upon him. You must change your mind. You must repent and believe the gospel and take the gospel on his terms. What are his terms? Repent. Turn away from your sin. Turn away and believe upon him. That's what he requires of you. That is conversion. Repent. Forsake your old life. Forsake your sins. And come and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to close our time. We're here from Partick. We'd love to see you, Partick. Free Church of Scotland continuing. We meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace. We meet on the Lord's Day, Sunday, at 11 a.m. and again 6:30 p.m. You would be made most welcome to come along. May the Lord bless his word to you this afternoon.